This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Flying solo again here as everybody and their brother seems to be doing things away from here but me. But never fear, I will have my weekly guests in here. Nate McHenry from RallySquirrel.com will be joining me. And, of course, we'll hear from everybody's favorite, Benji Molina, as we approach this second half of the season after this All-Star break. And what a great All-Star game it was. If you're a Yadier Molina fan or just a baseball fan in general, it was a pretty exciting game. So we'll get some thoughts on that from our contributors as well. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody where they can find us. Check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website where you'll find the podcast. It's also where you can subscribe to the show. It is completely free, and you'll just get a quick notification each time we release the podcast. Would really appreciate if everybody would do that, as it helps the show continue to grow. And we do owe that to all you guys. And a big reason for that is social media. It's something we're really involved in. We appreciate all the stuff that people include us in out there. We like the conversations. We enjoy the back and forth. We don't take anything personal, even if it is personal. We have thick skin here. We love it. If you're going to throw something out there, people are going to comment on it, and we'll live with the replies. Make sure you check us out at Birds on a Bat Shows, where you can find us on Twitter. Obviously, Twitter, the 140 characters, gets pretty passionate sometimes, but we enjoy it. At Birds on a Bat Show, once again, on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Just type it in, like our Facebook page, share our stuff. If you see our show, especially on there, if you could share it, we'd greatly appreciate it, as we're trying to reach as many Cardinal fans out there as we can. Wonderful Facebook groups and pages from Cardinal Nation is a great way to stay informed, great way to stay active within the community of Cardinal baseball, get involved in some conversations. There are some really good ones out there, as I mentioned. We'll hear from Nate McHenry today with his RallySquirrel.com report. The RallySquirrel.com Facebook page is one of the largest Cardinal groups and pages out there. You can find some great stories on there, as well as the great Rally Squirrel Club that Nate and his family do. It's a great way to show your appreciation to be a great Cardinal fan. So it's a very, very, very interesting stuff that you'll find on there, and it's also a lot of fun. Our friend Chris Lawless with his two great Cardinal pages, Cardinal Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Once again, still thinking of Chris and the recovery ahead for his wonderful fiance. Always thinking about those guys as well, and again, just a great Cardinal fan trying to do some great things with Cardinal fans. The Cardinal Freak's another good one. Like I said, there's a lot of good ones out there. Cardinal Freak does a great job always sharing our stuff. We do greatly appreciate him as well. LineupMedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Can't do this show without them. The wonderful facilities, all the great podcasts that are part of this network, we're very privileged and honored to be a part of it. They take your entertainment time very seriously. So if you like podcasting, and you obviously do, if you check it out, I guarantee you'll find another podcast that you'll really enjoy. My good friend John O'Kabinjian does Race Day at Fairmount Park. A lot of race fans out there that are Cardinal fans and like to spend their time over at the track. Obviously, Mike Shannon, big proponent of that racetrack, and has spent a lot of time out there. And you'll hear him talk about the ponies from time to time. So check out Race Day at Fairmount Park with our good friend John O'Kabinjian. Really enjoy that as well. Blues season right ahead. I do the show with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, two former Blues players. One a former defenseman, Jamie Rivers, that's involved in the community and does a lot of work with Fox Sports and through the Blues and a lot of youth hockey as well. Darren Kimball, the former tough guy, turned a gentle giant, as I like to say sometimes, just a great guy. The kind of dude you'd love to just sit back and have a beer with and let him tell some stories. But that'll be firing up here real soon as Blues season's underway, and we know that typically if you're a Cardinal fan, you're probably a Blues fan as well. So that one's the Blues NHL podcast. Like I said, lots of great stuff there from lineupmedia.fm. Give them a check out there. Like I said, going to get into some stuff today as we, as you know, obviously we had an interesting All-Star game. Once again, thought we were going to end in a tie. It did not, thank goodness. But I thought the two Cardinals represented very well. Carlos Martinez did a great job in his two innings of work, hitting 100 miles an hour. And what a great, great thing going on within Cardinal community, the Tsunami Waves Foundation. A lot of people got going on that through the All-Star game and were able to raise. Last I saw, I believe it was over $4,000, just through people paying attention to what's going on social media and doing something great for a good cause, and they do a lot of good things with that as well. And Carlos Martinez showing his charitable side as well. I believe he left right after the All-Star game and went home and did some stuff for his community there as well. So just a great guy, just learning his role within baseball and what he does and what it's all about. Again, just a great guy. And, of course, Yadier Molina, and just another great story for his career. Hits the home run, and, you know, he was 90 feet away probably from being the MVP of the All-Star game. But just a great day and all, and again. But what signals to me is that, it's crunch time now. We'll have close to 2 weeks to really analyze the team, decide what we want to do from a trade standpoint. You know, a lot of people – I saw a great article. I typically – like to go back and forth a little bit with some of Bernie Miklas' stuff, but I thought it was a great article he wrote. You know, I give credit where it's due. I thought it was a great article. I'm not quite sure if you can label the Cardinals as sellers or buyers. I think they're both. I think when you have the expectations that the fans have here, I think it's something you almost have to do. I don't know that knee-jerk reactions are the best for this franchise. I think the Cubs may have knee-jerk reacted today a little bit. They acquired Quintana, who I think is a really good pitcher. I'm not quite sure that that's what they exactly needed, but it's pretty close. They gave up some pretty good prospects. So, again, they didn't really break up the band, so to speak. So, they got a good pitcher, the left-hander, which, gives a lot of people fits. And who knows, this could be a big move for them. But it could also, they gave up a couple pretty good young prospects, which – probably won't see for at least 2 or 3 years, but still, that's how teams are made, and sometimes those things work out and sometimes they don't. It's the gamble, and it's a gamble that we're going to talk about a little bit today probably with our Cardinals. A lot of people want this guy or that guy. It's always a gamble, but I've said this once, I'll say it again. This is my personal opinion. This is what I like. I want them to be aggressive, and I want to take the gamble. I'm all for, everything's in hindsight, right? I'm all for we sit around later and talk about it. Why else do we need to do these shows if we don't like to talk about what happened? But it's real easy to do anything in hindsight. For me, I can promise you I'm not going to complain if they take a gamble and get aggressive. If they went and got Josh Donaldson and he was here for a year and a half and they couldn't get him signed, I wouldn't be upset with him. I would understand it. It was a gamble they needed to take. If they went and got Manny Machado, or if they would have got Jose Quintana and they would have come here and not done well, I'd have been okay with that, because they have to do something, in my opinion. We can't keep doing the same thing. I know it's fashionable to say, well, don't give up your young guys, but I think we lose sight of the fact that a lot of these young guys, it's just the numbers will tell you, it just doesn't work out for all these guys. And I said this one time, and I meant it. You just hope you trade the right ones. I mean, you look at some of the trades we've made over the years. I've asked, please tell me who we've traded that was a young player over the years that really came back to bite us. And, the only player I can really think of was Danny Heron. And at that time, that's an example of what I'm talking about. When we traded Danny Heron for Mark Mulder, it was really hard to say, man, that's not something they should have done. It absolutely, on the surface, looked like a great move for the Cardinals. Now, in hindsight, Mark Mulder was good for, I don't know if it was a full season or maybe about three quarters of a season, but for the most part, that trade in the long run did not work out for the St. Louis Cardinals. But I appreciate it when they're aggressive. It's worked out more for them than it hasn't. And I think at the end, if you're going to be a fan of an organization versus just a fan of this year, I think you got to judge them on their merit. So for me, that's how kind of how I'm going to do it. And If they went and got Donaldson, I'd be happy. If they went and got, I don't know, any of these guys, I'd be fine, because I just feel like we're missing something. I'm not sure if it's one piece, although I think it's amazing sometimes what one move can do to the group as a whole, especially if it solidifies something, and then that allows you to solidify in other places because you stop the merry-go-round, so to speak. But I don't know that that's really possible here, because we just got so many pieces we're trying to fit into this, into these so many spots, and that's an issue for me. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more with my weekly contributors here. Before we get to those guys, though, we're going to take a short break. Even though Steve-O's not in studio here, his wonderful mortgage company and his wonderful wife, Emily, they do a great job within the community, whether it's this close-knit community here or the surrounding communities, helping people achieve their dreams of buying a home, using their home to make changes in their life with refinancing and things like that. So let's hear from Steve and Emily. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Nate McHenry with his RileySquirrel.com report. Stay with us.
Hey, Cardinals fans, this is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Thanks again to Steve and Emily for their contributions to the support of this show. And, of course, Steve, my wonderful co-host, who unfortunately hasn't been with me now. This is two times in a row. I'm going to have to get on him about that. I'm not quite sure what's going on at the Flowers house. But again, make sure you support those guys as they continue to support this show. Another guy that does a great job supporting this show and giving us a real chance, fighting chance out there in the social media world to compete with all the great Cardinal stuff going on is our friend and yours, Nate McHenry, and his wonderful Facebook page, RileySquirrel.com. Nate, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. Good to be here, and looking forward to second half baseball with the Cardinals. So, lots to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, you brought it up, second half baseball. Lots of things happening. Before we turn our attention completely to the second half and where the Cardinals go from here, I just want to get your general thoughts on the All-Star game. I know you watched, and you had shared some stuff. It was an exciting time, and I think if you're a Cardinal fan, there were some great things that went on within there. But, you know, there were also a couple of things that I saw, some social media stuff going on, some people were unhappy about. But, you know, Carlos Martinez was the only pitcher to throw multiple innings, and some Cardinal fans felt like maybe Joe Maddon did that on purpose. I don't understand. You know, I had sent something out. Well, he hadn't pitched in a while, and he doesn't pitch again for a while, so I actually felt like he did him a favor. And then they showed a picture of him after Yadi hit the home run, and he immediately went to his lineup card. But if you listen to the interview he was doing actually with Buck, is the minute Yadi hit it, he said, "That's a homer. That's a homer," like three times, whatever it was. I don't know if they wanted him to do naked cartwheels in the dugout or what, but those were some interesting things. But I just wanted to get your general thoughts of the All-Star game and then maybe a little bit of that social media reaction to the handling, I guess, if you will, of our two Cardinals.
Yeah, hey, if you're a Cardinals fan, you couldn't have been more thrilled than what we got to see in the All-Star game out of our guys. I mean, so fun to see Yadi come up with a huge hit, especially at that moment of the game, and oldest catcher to hit a home run in the All-Star game. I mean, it was everything you could have asked for. And, hey, I'm with you. Like, Carlos Martinez just got his bullpen work in at the highest level, so that's good. And he did a great job, so it was fun. That was a fun All-Star game for our guys, and you know, a pretty great game overall, even though there was hardly any offense. So it's fun to watch. exciting for Yadi and Carlos, and I'm glad they represented well. You know, one of the things I noticed, too, from Yadi, like, he was just having fun. And I hope that Carlos and Yadi maybe experienced a fun environment, because I know it's been tough through the first half here. And I know the guys have fun, and we don't always get to see all that. You know, we only get to see what's on TV or if we're at the game from a distance. But, you know, I'm ready to see some more fun in the dugout, on the field. And I think the players want to get back to having a good time. Obviously, winning is a huge piece of that. But it was fun to see those guys having a good time. So good for Yadi. You know, you just love it for him. And you could feel the excitement, just the thrill. I mean, kind of that little kid factor even in him. It was just fun to watch that. So, you know, Joe Maddon, I mean, Joe Maddon. I mean, he's locked into an interview, so I'm not going to put any stock into that. I don't have any issues with how he handled the Cardinals players, and I think people are reading way, way too much in between the lines if there were issues there. So, for me, non-issue. Joe Maddon's got plenty of issues to deal with himself and his own team and their starting pitching and the things they need to rectify really quick if they're going to do anything in the second half. So I didn't put any stock in it, but I sure enjoyed watching Yadi and Carlos, and I thought they did a great job in the game.
Yeah, you know, I was watching, I'm sitting here, and I, like you, noticed, how much do you think it played into some of the more, I'm not going to call them hijinks, I'll just say fun All-Star game, the fact that it, you know, we took out that stupid, it means something. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm glad they took that out. That is stupid. I think everybody realized that, and they made the right decision there. So, and it was fun. It looked like the guys were still competing. You know, I mean, the thing about baseball is, you know, different from any other. It is the greatest All-Star game for sure in the major sports, because you can perform at 100% and you know, not risk too much injury and those kind of things. Whereas, you know, in football or something like that, you're obviously just watching an exhibition game that's ridiculous, or the NBA. So, you know, I mean, maybe the pitchers are the only ones that are, you know, holding something back a little bit or whatever, but it certainly didn't seem like it. I mean, pitchers dominated that game. And so I thought it was great. I thought it was great for the game. It bode well. And of course the home run derby the night before was a blast as well. And just guys crushing the ball. And, I mean, Aaron Judge, I mean, he was something to watch. It was pretty incredible. If you're a baseball fan, you had to love that. So I thought it was a great weekend for baseball all around.
Yeah. Again, I like you. I thought it was great. You know, I had mentioned to somebody, Carlos was going to not pitch for quite some time. I mean, he hadn't pitched since, I believe it was Friday, or and wasn't going to pitch again until Sunday. So I actually, you know, to think that they don't talk during these things and they don't talk to the clubs, and I know they do. And they talk to these guys, say, okay, when did you last throw? How do you run your bullpens? When are you going to throw again? What would you like to do? You know, those types of things. And again, you're talking about it, we're not too far removed from All-Star games years ago where the starter would throw three innings. So, I don't know. I'm a little indifferent. It's another thing where I get upset, where I feel like we're finding reasons to complain. But we got enough complaining going on as we approach the second half of the season coming out of the All-Star break. Let's first tackle the trade deadline. The Cubs just made their trade. They just made their first fire across the bench, and pretty good one. They picked up Jose Quintana. Now, a lot of people are going to look at his stats this year and say, not a good deal. They did give up a couple really top low-end, like lower-level prospects, albeit top prospects. I believe the Jimenez kid that they traded is a top prospect as far as young outfielders are concerned. I know they gave up a good pitcher, and then I think they gave up some higher level infielders. But they made the first move here. Jose Quintana, the left-hander from the White Sox, the Cardinals had been rumored to have some interest in him. But the Cubs have made their move, and now the Cardinals, to Cardinal fans, are probably on the clock. Would you not say?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit, but the Cubs are desperate for starting pitching. That's all there is to it. They need that. You know, I think they can rely on their bats and know that for the most part, they're going to have a lineup that can compete day in and day out. But they needed that. So, we'll see. We'll see if we fire anything away here. I think there's definitely a clock ticking, and I don't know, you know, what that looks like. But I think there's some interesting pieces we could consider, even with Colton Wong or Aledmys Diaz. I just don't know. But it's kind of what we've been talking about for weeks and weeks. Like, you're not really exactly sure which area we need to tackle first. It would sure help if people like Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter would, like, start producing at a level that's, you know, something that's going to help the team on a more consistent basis. And so, I don't know. You know, it doesn't seem like Mo's style to go do something crazy, but I think right now is that we're still in striking distance. Whenever you're in striking distance of the NL Central title, you should go for it. That's my opinion. I think anything else is crazy. We have a shot, so why not? And I've been saying this for weeks, but, you know, our starting pitching, when they're on, they're going to be great. And I know in June that we had a kind of a collective digression there, but I think we'll be okay with the starting pitching overall. And, you know, Waino's been, I think if any of us said, hey, Waino's going to have 10 wins at the All-Star break, you know, all of us would take that. I know his ERA is high. He's got run support and all those things, but hey, 10 wins. He's got 10 wins. He's somehow kept us in games. And so we'll take that. So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to, but I think we're in striking distance. So let's make a run at it.
Before you go, your expectations for our Cardinals in the second half.
Yeah, to me, it's those guys that I mentioned. Like, I expect Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter to do more. Steven Piscotty, he's got to do more. You know, I loved what our bullpen has, you know, slowly, but it's gotten better, I think, overall. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but Brett Cecil and some of those guys, like, they've done a better job. That's good. My expectation is for us to be there at the end of the end when we that we're going to have a shot. Now, you know, we got to play more consistent for sure, and we got to be better at home, no doubt about it. But I have expectation for us to fight, and I think it's going to be that three-horse race. I don't expect there to be one team that goes on a crazy run right now. I think we have enough evidence from the Cubs that not a lot is going to, you know, I mean, bringing in one guy is going to help every fifth day or so, but it's not going to change things dramatically unless, you know, their starting pitching goes wild and finds it finally. But Milwaukee might be our biggest surprise, right? I mean, we might be looking up at Milwaukee for a couple more months and saying these guys are going to hang in till the end. But that's my expectation. I expect us to be playing October baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that most Cardinal fans have that expectation. That would be my hope. I would hope people haven't just completely given up. But I will say there's a faction of Cardinal fans, of course, that, you know, and I hate to say this because I love the Cardinals, but some of the things that are wrong with this team, it's not like they've been going on for a month or two. Some of this stuff's been going on for over a year now, and you wonder how they fix that. Now, for me, the only way it gets fixed is we have to make some major changes, because some things just, they are what they are, no matter how bad you don't want them to be. Now, you know, for me, it's just there's too many pieces. Like, I think the addition by subtraction, I mean, I'm ready to take three guys out of this mix and bring in one guy and then bring in some new blood, whatever. But, I mean, and I could go different ways with it. But I think three guys got to get out of here. And I don't know which three it is. I think the Cardinals almost have to look at it like, some of these guys are going to be gone, and it's going to depend on which ones bring us back the most and which ones bring us back something that can really help. I don't know that they can look at it any differently.
Yeah, I think at this point, like you said, addition through subtraction is a strategy that we have to go to. And I think it's a good one at this point. You know, like, it sends a message to the club. It says that we're going to compete. It says that you're not going to be able to perform at a level that's subpar. And that's got to happen. So, you know, let's hope. Let's hope that some of these guys step up, that Piscotty and Carp and all these guys, that they can find a rhythm that will carry us in the second half. And it's just crazy that we've played really inconsistent in different baseball, but there still is a pretty good race ahead of us. And so let's either look at it half full or half empty. And, you know, we still have a shot right now, so I'm a half full guy at this point.
Well, let's hope it's exciting. The one thing we can guarantee is that RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page, you'll be able to find some, you know, all the stories, anything that's happening, rumor mill, thing like that. You'll be able to find all that there if you're following that. Tell our listeners real quick a little bit about RallySquirrel.com and where they find you.
Yeah, jump on our Facebook page. You can just, you know, search Rally Squirrel up in the search bar there. I'd love for you to join us. That's where all the action happens all the time. Every game's followed, postings, great interaction with fans, and all of these stories that we've been talking about today. We love to interact and talk with you about those. So you can find us there. And then we have, of course, the Rally Squirrel Club. You can go to rallysquirrel.com and find out information about how to be a part of the club that's been happening this year and still a lot going on for the rest of the season. So love for people to join in and jump in there. So let's go Cards, and looking forward to this first series, kicking it off, and I hope we come out hot. You know, I think a little bit of winning could go a long ways, and hopefully Yadi and Carlos can come back from the All-Star break and provide a little energy there, and I think it'll be good.
Well, it's good stuff as always. We appreciate your contributions each and every week. Your wonderful Facebook page is such a godsend for our show, and it allows us to reach so many great Cardinal people, and the discussions just get better and better. So can't thank you enough, Nate, and we look forward to what RallySquirrel.com has to offer each and every day.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you guys later.
That is Nate McHenry, the great editor. I don't know if he'd be editor-in-chief. I don't know what you'd call that. The administrator for RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. Again, very proud, to be honest, to be a part of what they're doing over there. It's a really good opportunity for somebody that, if you're following it, to stay in tune with what's going on. He does a great job of, you know, he doesn't just blindly share stuff. If something's intriguing, he's going to share it. He does some stuff with some different contributors. And again, if you're a Cardinal fan and you enjoy different clubs and things like that, his Rally Squirrel Club is pretty cool. You know, you get the box and, you know, you can look forward to, you know, being surprised at what may be in there each and every month. And I know the people that are doing it, we've heard from a lot of them. They really enjoy it, and it's just something. It's, you know, it's not anything, you know, it's not anything too terribly pricey. And, again, it's just, you know, you show that. I think people that do those box clubs, they're intrigued as much by, you know, what's it going to be this month. And, you know, typically it's always some, you know, the value's good. You look at what you spend and what you get. And again, I think it's really the excitement as much as anything. And if you're really a Cardinal fan and you enjoy that sort of thing, I really think you'd enjoy it. So check them out at RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. You know, as I think about the conversation with Nate there, you know, one of the things that he brought up that I'm in total agreement with him on is, you know, you look at how these guys have played and you think to yourself, I mean, can, you know, you, I mean, Carp's got a pretty good history of hitting. Now, you know, we can argue about his defense, and I don't know how much you can argue about it. I mean, it speaks for itself. You know, I mean, I don't need metrics or stats to know what I've seen. You know, the base running and things like that. You know, we can do that. But the hitting, you know, some of the stuff is still pretty good, but the average is what's noticeably down for him. You know, I've heard some things, some bad batted ball luck and things like that, which is obviously part of the game, but he's got a pretty good track record. My assumption would be is that we should see something more Carp-like in the average department in the second half. But then again, nothing's guaranteed. But for some of these other guys that have not done very well their first half, I mean, Dexter Fowler's had some stretches, but I would say that he's not where he wants to be. Steven Piscotty, for sure, not where he wants to be. You know, we've had some things change there. But, you know, you look back at it, Tommy Pham's been a great surprise for the Cardinals. I mean, some people would say it wasn't a surprise to me, but it is. When you're not counting on something and it's done what he's done, that's a great surprise. You know, the contribution size of Luke Voit has been small but nice. It's been a nice add for sure. DeJong has been great. While I think we all liked Jerko and liked the power, I think he's played a pretty good third base, and the offense has been better than more consistent with the average for sure than I think we expected. The RBI numbers are better this year. It's probably got a little bit more to do with the average being up. I mean, the home run totals are there. You know, Yachty's been Yachty. You know, the average isn't bad. Would like to, you know, I know some people have talked a little bit about the OPS and OBP and things like that. It's all these guys trying to be better. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not quite sure that you can't look at this club and not think that they could be better the second half. It would stand to reason. Now, I also said that some of the things they're doing wrong, it's been going on for a while now, and I don't know why we would just be convinced that it's magically going to change. Unlike most, I do think they conscientiously or unconscientiously, whatever you want to say, think about it, work on it, know it needs to be better. I mean, I don't think for one minute they don't care. Again, the manager is, you know, again, I get labeled an apologist. I'm not an apologist. Listen, I'm no different than the rest of you. The other day when Tommy Pham was not in the lineup, when Dexter Fowler came off the DL, I could not have been more upset and thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. It was no different than when Brandon Moss played every day. See, that's the kind of thing that if you want to criticize a manager, absolutely. He deserves all the criticism in the world for that. And again, I say that just like any one of you. Now, you know, if, and it would never happen, but if he was to call me and say, hey, Jim, I saw your criticism that I didn't play Tommy. Hey, off the record, you know, what if I told you Tommy Pham's hip's been barking and he needed a day? And you know what? We realize how good he's been for us, and we need him in the long haul here. So we tried to give him a day, hoping that would help. Obviously, it didn't help, Jim, because, you know, he'd come back, and then it's really bothering him. You know, but we thought maybe a day would help him. What if that was the conversation? Now, I don't know that, but that's the thing. None of us really know. I always say, what do we really know? So, you know, those things I try to take with a grain of salt. But I see things, and they tick me off. My only concern when it comes to the manager as we move forward is this. You know, I hope he makes good decisions. I don't know that he's always going to make good decisions because in my heart, typically good decisions are going to be what I agree with. But what the hell do I know? But when it comes right down to it, you know, I've said this to some other people. If you watched Mike Matheny play, and I had this conversation with some people, you know, that are in the game, and you know, this was my opinion. I watched Mike Matheny play in the big leagues. He only played in the big leagues for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was a great defensive player. He was not a good hitter. He was a great defensive player. He had an unbelievable baseball IQ and understanding of the game, especially from his position. And he was tough as nails. So now I'm just supposed to magically believe that now that he's a big league manager, he doesn't care about defense, he doesn't care about fundamentals or baseball IQ, and he's soft? Guys, that just doesn't make much sense. Now, he may make a bad choice here or there and who he decides to go with. I mean, hindsight's easy on those decisions, who he picks to play or bring it out of a bullpen. His assessment of a lineup and all that, I think we can all disagree with or agree with at times. Those are the things that, again, he's not beyond criticism. Who is? But again, I just, those are the things that when it comes to the manager that I typically want to have the conversation about because those are the ones I don't understand. But yes, no different than everybody else. That the Tommy Pham being out of the lineup the other day, I just couldn't believe it. But again, what do we really know? And again, I'm not even saying that's the case. You know, maybe he would have said, well, you can think what you want, but I tried to give the guy a day off. Very simple. And I would say now wasn't the time for a day off. But who knows? Maybe Tommy Pham's hip's been bothering him and they thought it was an opportunity to give him a day. Who knows? I don't know. But again, I'm ready for this club to take off and do some things that I think they can do. Another guy that I can promise you is ready to go. He's ready for the second half of the season to get going. I'm hoping he's back in town here real soon so that I can spend some lunch hours with him and some game time with him and get him back in here in the studio is our friend and yours, as brought to you each week on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Oh, not much, man, not much. Getting ready for the second half. How you guys doing over there?
Well, it's just me flying solo today, my bud. Everybody else seems to have abandoned me but you and Nate. So I just finished up with Nate, and you know, we talked a little bit about the All-Star game. So let's just start right there for you because, everybody knows the relationship that you have with your brothers is very special. You guys are extremely family-oriented, and as it should be, you do a great job of trying to make sure that everybody understands, you know, the role family plays. But, you know, you guys have had unbelievable careers, an unbelievable life, but, you know, you're sitting there watching that All-Star game and you see your brother. You know, what's going through your mind there?
Wow. There's a lot of things that goes through my mind, especially being proud and how my dad told us and taught us how to be a great human being and stuff like that. How my dad sacrificed his life for us, and look at where my brother is, look at where he is, and look what he has accomplished in his career after he has battled all those years with us. And the honor that we get to watch him, especially the Cardinal fans in St. Louis, that had a great honor to watch Yadi play for that many years. Happiness for him, joy. I mean, it's so many different feelings, and he keeps going, man. He has a great heart. He fights for what he wants. He doesn't give up on anything. So it's just that feeling of happiness. Success, he doesn't surprise me. His success, because he works so hard, he's so prepared. But just happiness, man, just to see him have that kind of success in the best baseball in the world and be one of the top, for me, the best catcher that ever played the game, just to watch him, it's a joyful thing, man.
Yeah, you know, obviously since we've become friends and worked together on all this stuff, as I was watching that go on, knowing how you feel about your brother and the way you guys do, I couldn't help but think about you for a minute and think, you know, what was going through your head, and obviously with the pride and all that kind of stuff. But I know you do. I mean, you've said it. You know, you believe your brother's the best, and you give him all the credit in the world. And again, for me, as a Cardinal fan, and I've said this, and this was the thing that bothered me about Albert, is I felt like Albert was our guy, and now we lost him. It's like losing a family member. The beautiful thing about Yadi is that I think all Cardinal fans feel like he's our guy. And when he was doing that, I don't know that it'll ever match what somebody like yourself or your mom or your dad in heaven was going through watching Yadi at that moment. But for all Cardinal fans out there, for a moment, he was our guy. You know what I mean? And we've had a rough first half, and it had to be a very bright spot in an otherwise tough first half.
Yes. I think it says a lot, and how he represents. Remember, we had a conversation about this a long time ago, how he sweats his jersey, how he knows that the front name is the St. Louis Cardinals. That's what he's representing. He's representing the city. He's representing the whole city of St. Louis. He knows that. He understands that. You know, it's not like he doesn't understand that. He has a great respect for the city. He has a great respect for the fans. He wants to do well for all of them. You know, he wants to do good. And he is proud of that. You know, remember we had that conversation before. That's something that has to be respected. When you have a guy who wants to play, who doesn't want to take a day off, and he's a catcher, and he's day after day battling for the city of St. Louis, for the name in the front of the jersey, that's what we need to respect, man. You know how many teammates and how many players I play that a flu-like symptom or whatever, you know, like a little sickness, and they were trying to be careful with him, and then he didn't play. And you know how many times Yadi has been under the weather and flu-like symptoms, he probably played, and I did it too. Those are the things that we have to respect. Those are the things that we have to be appreciative of. And I think he's shown you guys and us as fans that he's one of our own. He's one of our Stan Musial. He's one of our Ozzie Smith. He's one of our Bob Gibson. He's one of our Willie McGee type of guys, you know?
Yeah, I agree, and you know, fans are, and I think fans genuinely love Yadi, of course, and you know, there was a little bit going on social media wise, and I know sometimes I may pay a little too much attention to it, but that's our fans, right? So, you know, we had some fans a little upset with Joe Maddon. They felt like A, they didn't understand why he pitched Carlos two innings, and I don't understand why anybody would be upset at that, number one. Number two, and then they didn't feel like he, you know, they saw like he, I guess he didn't have any emotion after Yadi hit the home run, so people thought he was mad that Yadi was a Cardinal. I don't understand. I mean, I think people are looking into that. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't your family have a pretty good relationship with Joe Maddon? I don't understand. Did you read anything into that? I mean, I don't know.
No, why do we have to say that? I mean, Joe loves Yadi. He's obviously in the Cubs system. But that got nothing to do with Joe. Maybe he was thinking, okay, we tied the game. Now his brain is going like, okay, who do I bring to pitch? Who do I pinch hit or for a pitcher? Who do I put into a double switcher? You don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, as soon as Yachty hit the ball, he was being interviewed by Joe Buck. And, I mean, the second Yachty touched it, you heard him say, that's a homer. That's a homer. And I'm like, I guess because when they panned back to him. I guess they wanted him to do naked cartwheels in the dugout. I don't know. I was kind of shocked by that.
Yeah, me too, because there's nothing in there. You know, there's nothing in the thing. I mean, he's just probably thinking like a million things right then. Who to pitch and who do I, you know, all those things that moves. I mean, the game was tied and late. It wasn't like it was the first inning where you can just relax.
Sure.
Oh, it's like the sixth inning or so, and you have to think about who you're bringing in. So game tied and who's coming up next to hit. I mean, there's so many things. I got nothing, man. He got so much respect for Yachty. I mean, and then especially when you know that what's at stake in the All-Star game, which is home field advantage. You think he will not be happy? Come on.
Well, now they got rid of that now, so it's back to just being an exhibition, remember? I don't know if you remember that or not, but they got rid of that, so that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
I haven't heard of that one. But in this case, I mean, come on. You gotta be happy that the game is tied, you know, and then you have to probably be thinking about so many things. I didn't know they got rid of that thing. You know, I didn't remember that rule got changed.
Yeah, and I thought it was good. I mean, I'm glad they took that out of there. And again, I thought that it played a lot into the joy that you saw. I mean, it, you know, they were having a great time out there. And at the end of the day, I think that's what the fans want to see. So. You know, seeing Yachty have a great time, Carlos.
But that's the real deal, right? I mean, the best record owns the home field advantage.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yes, that's how it should be. Yes,
that's how it should be. If the Astros have the best record and they end up going to the World Series, they should have the home field advantage because they battle all year for it.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I think it enabled us to have more fun with the All-Star game. They did some things that some people liked and some people didn't like. I actually had no problem with anything they did. I thought they tried to bring the fan experience into it. So, you know, for me, great stuff. Again, I was so happy for Yachty. And again, he's your family, but he feels like family to every Cardinal fan. So I'm sure everybody enjoyed that as well. And speaking of family, as we move into the second half, this is our team. This is our family. You know, we want them to be better. We want to see things change for the better. Change is inevitable for this club, in my opinion. Let's talk just briefly before we get into our expectations. I'm of the belief something has to give. A deal is coming in some way, shape, or form. I don't think they can continue to operate with this many moving pieces. And when I say moving pieces, they've just got too many guys. They're going to be better off if they eliminate two or three of these pieces that are kind of clogging it up. That's my opinion. What's your thoughts?
I think I'm right with you. They have to do something. There's no way we can continue with this group because the inconsistency doesn't mean they cannot win. They show us the part that they can win. They show us that game that they can win and give us special games. But they also show us very inconsistency in the bullpen, very inconsistency in the starting pitch. Well, the starting pitching I've always been okay with, you know, and they're going to battle back. They're going to bounce back. They're going to be okay. But, man, that the errors and all these things, I think they need to do something. What it is, it's a really good secret. I wish I could know, but I think they still need to do something. You know?
Well, I mean, we got to do something. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but at the same time, you know, again, I think we'll be better when we just eliminate some of the stuff that's going on, you know, just on the surface. And again, all the moving around and all that kind of stuff, I just think it's tough. But I also think they're forced to do it right now because they don't, when you don't have things working, you got to try something. Well, I would rather have I'd rather have some secure pieces in place and get rid of some of the unknown. That's just me.
Yeah, but it's what you said right now is so perfect because it's you when you don't have those guys that you know make your lineup like a Trout, Pujols, Calhoun, in this case the Angels, they have all those pieces that have Escobar, which hit 300 every year. When you don't have those lined up and you have just guys that you're trying to see how they do and see if they earn a spot and things like that, yeah, you have to move the pieces, especially if you're losing that many games and that you should be winning. Yeah, you have to move the pieces. That's what I understand. I mean, that's what I would do, too. I mean, I don't want to be trapped all year in the same deal. Okay, you have to do it, but you're not doing it. Here, keep playing the whole year. No, you can't do that. You can't sit on back on that. You got to try something, you know?
Well, again, something's got to give. This is an example, you know, as we move in, and then we can kind of take this into our expectations, but, you know, right away coming out of the All-Star break, we're going to start dealing with this exact situation. Colton Wong is coming back from the DL. Colton Wong was playing well when he got hurt. Matt Carpenter has moved to second base to get Voit's bat in the lineup. Now, you know, mind you, it's a small sample size for Voit, but he's done okay. I mean, it's hard to think about taking out a guy that's been, you know, hitting the ball well, hitting the ball, you know, with extra base power, and, you know, now we're going to go back to this, and now this guy's going to be here, and then there's a lot of second guessing. It's just, I think we could take away a lot of the stuff if we just eliminated, like I said, two or three guys and bring in one guy and then start establishing some real consistency.
I think you have to be honest with yourself. If you're Mosalek, if you're the ownership, the manager, you have to be really honest with yourself. Which player makes my team better? Which player, not because of the fans, not because of, I don't know, whatever you want to make an excuse for. No, which player makes my team better, makes my lineup better so I could beat the Pittsburgh Pirates? That's what they need to think about really, really careful. And if the other guys that they left off because they don't make my team better, those are the guys you deal with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot just keep going with this. Okay, Wong has to play because he's getting paid. Or Piscotty has to play because he just got a contract. Well, let's find out. Or Grichuk has to play because he has potential. What makes your team better? What makes your team fly through the season? What makes the fans excited and winning baseball games? What do that? And then you go from there, because if you touch your heart because you just gave somebody millions, you're going to have the year you're having probably around here, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I there are a lot of things that are going to go into how this second half works out. I just cannot imagine a scenario where there isn't something moved. I'm not even saying we're going to go get this impact guy, but I just don't know how we aren't better if we do some addition by subtraction or some subtraction by addition, either way, and let the chips fall where they may. But I also believe that...
Let's tell the fans the reality of it. Let's tell them, because they are really attached to Wong and Piscotty and Grichuk and all these young guys. They're really attached to them. For all the fans that are listening, let's be real. These could change in a heartbeat, and you know this. You've been around the game for long. These could change. Wong could be gone. Grichuk could be gone. Piscotty could be traded. All these guys. I mean, Matt Adams traded. Matt Holliday, free agency. This could change. So it just depends on what they have in their head and what they want to do with the direction of the team. If they want to give Wong and Piscotty and Grichuk a chance to perform in a few years, we don't have that. But if they want to do that, they're going to do it. But they could change, you know, with the trade.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, that's one piece of it, for sure. The other part is, again, some of these guys have not played well. Some of these guys have not performed. We've had some guys that have performed well. But, man, I'd like to believe that, you know, a couple of these guys have got to be better in the second half. It would, if it's Piscotty or like I said, I, I know that Dexter Fowler had been better before the injury and when he came back a little bit, but you know he's a better player I think than we saw the first month of the season for sure. Stephen Piscotty's
he's the
better.
Type of player. Yeah, he's the type of player like Carpenter we were talking. Like you can give him time to recover because they've done it. They've proven players. They're veterans. They've been there. But the young guys, man, you don't know what to expect. Grichuk have done it 1 year that he had a great year. And after that, it's been just normal. So we don't know what to expect from him. Wong haven't been great, great, great. He's been good, but he haven't been great. We don't know yet. Piscotty had a great first half last year, fell off in the second half, and now he's struggling this time. So we don't know what they're doing. They're young guys, so we're trying to figure it out. But the older guys doesn't worry me, like I said before. Carpenter and Fowler, the only thing that worries me about Carpenter is the running of the bases and the fielding, you know, like the airs and stuff. And that worries me. But Fowler doesn't worry me one bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that I think, you know, that, you know, everybody's, I brought it up earlier, everybody's on Carp. I mean, we've seen some things. I mean, I don't need a stat to know that his defense has not been good and the base running has been, you know, skeptical at best. But, you know, the guy's got a pretty good track record at the plate. My assumption would be is that we'll see the average increase in the second half. And, you know, as usual in the game of baseball, if he starts tearing the cover off of the ball, you know, fans will give you a little leeway on some of the other stuff, but it's a little hard to struggle at the plate when you're running the bases poorly and making errors. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens there. What are your expectations for this team? I mean, do you see them having, you know, all the – I mean, we have to make an assessment based on everything we think we know. So, you know, what's your assessment? I mean, do you think they can do this thing?
I think they can get into a playoff the wild card because it's already probably taken, but the division, I mean, come on, we're within five games or something like that, and we play, you know, average ball, you know, at times we play great, at times we play bad ball, but we're still five games out. Come on, man. We're still in it. We have to go for it. That's what I say. Like, one trade, two trades could make a difference on this club takeover. Because, remember, five games, like I said many times before in the show, five games, you can make it up. You're playing Pittsburgh right now. Then you might play Milwaukee later and take three out of four. And then all of a sudden, you're one game behind. And you're like, holy crap, we're one game behind and we're still having the same guys. If I add one guy, if I add help to the bullpen, or if I add a guy in the middle of the lineup, this team might take over and we might win the division. So we're right there, man. All we need is a little help, like I said before. One guy in the bullpen that's a shutdown guy and the other guy in the middle of the lineup, and you know, and we go from there. I think this team, for this division, what is playing, if you were 15 games out, I understand, you know, you just play the young guys and let them get bats and you go through the year, but you're not 15 games out. You're five games out of the division. It's within reach, man. I think we got to go for it. Expectations on the club is very high, very high. The starters, I'm sure they expect a lot better games from them. I mean, they've been pitching great all year, but at the end there, they got a little hit, but now in the second half, we expect the bullpen to pick it up. We're glad that Cecil picked it up, but we need more guys to step in and do their jobs, and then the defense has to step it up, and the hitting, you know, they're being all right, they've been okay, they're gonna do the game, but I think the expectation is to win the division as far as it goes right now.
Do you think that some of the – and, again, it all plays into it, right? I mean, again, my assessment is based off what I think is going to happen. So when I look at the thing, I just can't help but think we're going to make a move. Okay, so that's one reason. Number two, I think to some of the guys that underperformed, I think we'll do better. Now, I also have to realistically say to myself, a couple guys have had really good first halves. Can they continue that? I mean, Jed Jerko's a fine player, and I like him. Is he a 300-hit-plus hitter? I'm not sure. So can we expect him to still hit 300? I don't know. We will find out. Tommy Pham has been great. Can we expect him to be a number basically, he's been a number three type hitter for you since he's came up. So can we expect that to continue? I'm not sure. We will find out.
And can we keep him in the lineup without having a potential guy out there?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, that's my thing with the deal, right? That's my thing. Okay, so I'm imagining a deal. I'm looking at that. Another thing that comes into play for me is I'm looking at what, you know, I have to take into account what's going on. The Cubs are definitely back to reality. And the team that we're chasing, I don't know if we just don't want to give them any credit, but, man, since it's the Milwaukee Brewers and it's like how long has it been since they made a run and felt like they could go make moves to improve and what they do, this thing just seems doable to me.
I think so. I mean, I've been saying it all along. I think that we're right within reach. I think in my heart, a couple moves gets up over the top. So if Mo's listening and all the guys are listening, hey, man, a couple moves. That's all we need, man. Let's go get them and see what happens. I don't know who we're going to have to give up because obviously a fan, you know, there could be fan favorite players and stuff like that. But in this business, I think the ownership, I think the GM, I think the manager wants to win. They don't want to please anybody. We already know it's a business. We want to get wins. We want to get division titles up there with division banners, playoff, you know, go deep in the playoff and stuff like that. That's what we're shooting for. So I don't know what they're going to do right now, but I just hope they do something because we're like a couple moves away from getting this thing done.
Well, we're going to see what happens. Like I said, I'm convinced that we can do it. I'd like to see what's going to happen. The one thing for sure is this. I think we're in for an exciting couple of months here. I mean, I really do. I can't.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. It's going to be great, man.
I mean, it should be good. And like I said, we had some great things happen with the All-Star game. Cardinal community came together with Carlos's Tsunami Waves Foundation, raised a bunch of money during the All-Star game and the day after. And I hope it'll continue.
Ain't that awesome to see?
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it great?
That's awesome. That's awesome. To where you can help kids make a difference with school supplies, which they're getting very expensive and a lot of parents cannot afford it, you know. And I was watching a documentary on Steve Smith Jr., the football player, and he puts shoes in this homeless people and these kids that has no home, and he goes through them and he goes through shoes and puts them on. He robs their feet, bro. He robs their feet. People that are in the street, living in the street, he goes out and he puts some gloves on and he robs their feet and they put some new shoes on. All right, buddy, you go, man. What's the next guy? I mean, those things that these Tsunami and Steve and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers do the same, and Yadi with the fourth foundation for helping battered kids. I mean, this is awesome, man. I mean, this is the way we should live. This is the way we ought to give back. And these guys, Wayno with his deal, you know, helping people. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. That's the way we need to live, you know?
Well, again, I'd like to see what happens in the trade market before I get all warm and fuzzy. But, you know, the fact of the matter remains that, you know, I'm not a big hindsight guy. If the Cardinals get aggressive and do something here and it doesn't work out, you won't hear me complain about it. At least they try to do something. But again, it's just my gut feeling. They have to do something.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Jose Martinez, did he get sent down?
Yes, he did.
Somebody posted something up. You see, now the fans out there, for every fan out there that, you know, love baseball and love hearing us and stuff, this is one of the reasons why I left the game. This is one of the reasons why I went away from the game. I didn't want to coach. I didn't want to manage. I didn't want nothing to do with the game. And that was one of the main reasons. Jose Martinez is a guy who puts the ball on play, 287, and he hits to the right field. He hits to the other way. He hits hit and runs. He's a great guy. He only struck out 35 times. He puts the ball on play. And then they keep a guy that's hitting 215 with 75 strikeouts and they have the potential because they like him, because that's their guy. You see what I'm saying? This is the time that I left the game. This is one of the main reasons why I hate it to go to the field as a coach and look at the unfairness that happens out there. That is totally unfair for that kid to go down to AAA. He was probably going to help you way much more than other guys in that club. And he had to pay the price because he had options to go to AAA instead of staying in the big leagues. I think that's really, really bull crap on whoever part it was to start thinking about sending that kid down. I don't care who it was, but it's really, really bull crap. And that's one of the main reasons why Benji Molina didn't want to go and coach again or manage or do whatever. It's because of the unfairness of baseball. But that tells you the business side of it, the side that they want their potential guy to be out there and not the guy who do it. And I hate that with my guts, man. I really do.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough thing. And, you know, I look around and, you know, I always wonder, are there things going on behind the scenes? Is, you know, the business part, which you've mentioned numerous times, is such a disheartening part of the game that I know we don't like as fans. But you know what, Benji? I know that's why the fans really enjoy you, because you speak from the heart, you speak with passion, and you know, you love our Cardinals no different than us, and it doesn't matter that you played in the big leagues for 13 years. You're just a fan like the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, and that, I hate that, dude. I tell you, man, with my guts, and my wife can tell you, anybody that knows me can tell you, I really, really, really do hate it, because that's not fair for the kid that's battling his butt for 10 years or more in the minor leagues, bro. And then you have to pay the price because you have a potential guy that, come on, man. Seriously? Are we going to play that game now? Okay, this guy is our guy. This guy is because of the trade or whatever. He was drafted before somebody. No, we got to play that guy. Come on, man. Let's be realistic here. Come on. 287 batting average is not good enough for you. 287? But 215, it's really valuable to you? Come on, man. Come on.
Well, I think you got a lot of Cardinal fans that would probably agree with you today, would be my guess. But, Benji, I know it's time for us to go, and I know I want to thank you for your insights and your passion, and I know our Cardinal fans do as well, my friend.
You got it, man. You got it. Thanks, man. Let's do this again. You know it.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to you getting back in town here, but until that time, I know we'll talk again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
That is Benji Molina, as he comes to you each and every show on the m4byyachty.com hotline. You know, I listen to Benji talk there, and you can hear the passion in his voice. And, you know, obviously, I mean, we all know he's Yachty's brother. We all know Benji had a nice career in the big leagues himself, was a Gold Glove catcher, World Series champion, doing all the broadcasting. He loves the game of baseball. But, you know, he loves the right part of it as well, if you listen to him. I mean, the business side is something you know he can do without. All you got to do is listen to him, and you can tell. But at the end of the day, if it's for whether it's me, you, or anybody, you know, he's a fan. And that's why we really enjoy having him on this show and bringing him to you each week. That'll do it for us. Coming to you from the lineupmedia.fm studios, this is your host, Jim, and Jimbo here, hoping I'll have my co-host back with me next week and I'm able to bring that to you. Don't forget to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Follow us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat as well. Follow and like our stuff. Share it around if you would, please. Again, couldn't do the show without lineupmedia.fm and, of course, our great producer, Brian Kroc. For all the guys here at Two Birds on a Bat, we'll see you at the stadium.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.